All right. Good evening, everyone. That was absolutely amazing worship. Thank you, worship team. For those of you who don't know me, for those new visitors, my name is Marco. If you can't roll your R's, you can call me Marco. Leon calls me good looking. When we get to a good friendship level, you can also call me good looking. All right. Bene. Okay, we're going to talk today on because of your faith. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This verse gives us a sort of a definition of what faith is. And the word hoped for in the original Greek actually means to expect or to look forward to. And the word assurance means to have a substantial or a real conviction or a firm belief. And what Hebrews 11 is telling us here is that faith is when we expect something, something that we cannot see, something that we cannot foretell is going to happen. But we have an expectation, and that expectation is an expectation of substance. It's not a shallow expectation. It's an expectation that is rooted deeply in something. This kind of faith that is being spoken about in Hebrews 11 is not a passive kind of faith. Verse 6, we read, without faith, it is impossible to please God, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So to please the Lord, what we need to do is we need to earnestly seek him, but we cannot just do that by sitting back. We actually need to do something. We need to go and cooperate with the Lord. We aren't called to have a passive faith, but rather a faith that moves. And so today, I'm going to be talking about the characteristics of a faith that moves. We all know about dynamite, and we've all heard the saying, dynamite comes in small packages. And with dynamite, you have a very small piece of chemicals, and when ignited, that piece of chemical can explode into something completely powerful and a huge amount of energy. Something very similar. In batteries, we have the AAA battery. That's the smallest of the Duracell bunny batteries. But those AAAs, when you put them in the right place and the right way up, they deliver a powerful energy. So the three characteristics that I'm going to be talking about today are the AAAs, or what I'm going to refer to them as the R. So, our first characteristic of faith is anhodend faith. Now, anhodend in the English Afrikaans dictionary is constant, continual, and lasting. Another word would be persistent faith. And we read about this type of persistent faith when we read about the Syrophoenician woman. And the Syrophoenician woman, what happened was Jesus was preaching and he landed in Tyre and he went into a house and he didn't want anyone to know that he was there because he wanted a time to rest. But somehow this Syrophoenician woman found out where Jesus was. And she had a daughter who was possessed by a demon. And she knew that Jesus was the only one who could free her from this demon. So she somehow found out where Jesus was. She ran to that house, ran to Jesus, and lay at his feet. She threw herself at his feet and begged him to help her by releasing her daughter from this demon. And we are going to read now from Matthew 15, verse 23. She dives down at his feet and she begs him, Jesus, free my daughter. But verse 23, Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." Jesus eventually answers her, but doesn't grant her request. He answers, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." So she asks again. The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. And still, he hadn't granted what she had asked for. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Yet she persisted, because she knew he was the one to help her. "Yet it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that very moment. Can you imagine if this Syrophoenician woman, if she had asked once and then given up, like some of us do? We sometimes go to the Lord and we ask him and we lay something down at his feet and we pray for something. Once, maybe twice. And then nothing happens, so we stop. Philippians 4 tells us that in every situation, we should petition the Lord and present our requests to him. Now a petition, if you've got someone down your road that's painting their house bright orange, you're then going to go down the street and you're going to get as many people to sign your petition as possible, so that you can force that neighbor to paint it back to the normal color. A petition is many, many signatures. So what Philippians is telling us here is that we mustn't just pray once. We don't just drop something off at Jesus' feet and we leave it there. We've got to go back to it day in and day out and pray for it over and over and over again until God decides when it is in his will and when it is in his timing to answer your prayer. A very wise lady in one of our comms that we used to run gave us this quote, which I thought was really cool, and it's actually stuck with me. And she said, "There is no such thing as an unanswered prayer, only an abandoned one." That was Penny. Very wise lady. Listen to her. And I think that's so good because it just demonstrates how persistent we need to be with our prayers. We need to keep praying and have that persistent faith, that unhardened faith, that the Lord will come through for us, but in his perfect timing, not in ours. Whatever situation we might find ourselves in, we need to be persistent in our prayer and in our faith. But not faith in the outcome and not faith in the situation, but faith in Jesus. The next characteristic, our next R, is audacious faith. Audacious is bold, courageous, really upfront faith. Faith that you just scream from the rooftops. In Matthew 8, verses 5 to 13, we read about how Jesus healed a centurion's servant. Now, a centurion of those days was a Roman soldier. They would have had 100 men underneath them. And this centurion had this servant who was ill. He comes to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, because of my position, because of who I am as a soldier, as a centurion, when I say to my soldiers, 'You go there,' they go there. And when I say 'Go there,' they go there." In that moment, the centurion knew the authority that Jesus had over everything in this world. And he went to Jesus and he said, "Jesus, you have the authority. I am actually not even worthy to have you step 1 foot under my roof. So Jesus, just say the word where you are standing right now And because of the authority that you have, that sickness will go. And Jesus looked around at the centurion and he looked around at everyone who had witnessed this. And he said, there is no one in the whole of Israel who has this amount of faith. He then turns to the centurion and says, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And in that very moment, the servant was healed. Miles away from where Jesus was. Miles away from where the centurion was asking for Jesus' assistance. I think it would have been a lot easier. I know I probably would have gone over to Jesus, put my arm around him and gone, come, let's go. You know, I want to see you heal my servant. I need you to come with me because I need to control the situation. Or maybe go, if Jesus says, oh, he is healed. Say, but when? Is he healed now? Will he be healed by Tuesday? I want parameters. I want to control it. And I think we do that quite often. We put plans in place and we try and control situations. Instead of having audacious faith to go and lay that at Jesus' feet. Audacious faith is confidence in who Jesus is, who Jesus says he is, and what he will do. And that he says, what he says he'll do, he will do. How often do we think, if we could just see Jesus, if he could come to me and say, yes, take that job, not that job. Or if I saw writing on the wall, don't do it. Or if I heard Jesus audibly say, you are making the right decision, then I will have faith. How often do we say that? But what happens is we need to have the faith before all of that happens. Audacious faith where we can go and we leave it with Jesus. And then once we've left it with Jesus, we go back to the previous R and we unhurriedly pray for it. Over and over and over again. You see, Jesus said, blessed is the one who has not yet seen, yet believes. Jesus made a promise to the centurion, and the centurion took him at his word. He believed him. He left. Not knowing the outcome, but because of his audacious faith, he knew that that servant of his was healed back at home. The third hallmark of faith, the third R, actionable faith. In Luke 5, verse 18 to 25, we read about how Jesus is in Capernaum, and he's teaching in this house. And there are people in this house. There's so many. There's no more space in the house. There are people outside the house trying to look in through windows, trying to look in through doors, just to so that they can hear what Jesus is saying. And then we continue to read about how there are a few unnamed men, not very special men. And I say not very special, I mean in a worldly sense. They were not rich men. They were not high-powered men. They were not high in society, within the community. They were your average men. But there was something special about them, their level of faith. Because they had a paralyzed friend, and they knew that if they took that paralyzed friend and they lowered him down to Jesus' feet, or at least if they got him in front of Jesus at Jesus' feet, he would heal him. But because of the impossible task of being able to get to Jesus, they decided to run up the roof of the house, carrying their paralyzed friend, and then they beat and bashed their way through the roof tiles of this house. You see, back then, all the roofs were flat, and the roofs were actually made of branches and sticks. But then on top of those branches and sticks, they had a big, thick clay slab. So I'm not talking about these tiles that we have on our houses at the moment, where you can just push a few away, pull the geezer out, put a new geezer in, and put the tiles back. These guys had to sit there and chisel and chip away at this clay because they knew they had to do whatever it takes in order to get their friend in front of Jesus. It's an extreme act. An extreme act because of their audacious faith. An action that they had to take because of their faith. And when they finally got through the roof and they managed to mission impossible their friend down in front of Jesus, Jesus looked at them and he said, "Your sins are forgiven." And he continued to say to the man, "Stand up and walk home." Faith requires perseverance through the tough times. But this example doesn't just show us perseverance. It demonstrates actionable faith. James 2 verse 17 says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." When we read the story in Mark and Luke, we actually read how it says Jesus saw their faith. Now, you can't see faith. But what Jesus saw was the outworking of their faith. Their actions demonstrated their faith. Faith is not proved by feelings or words. Faith is proved in action. This Bloom conference that the ladies have been on, I believe, has been an absolutely amazing conference. And I think when we sometimes go to these conferences, the men, we go to our men's conferences, we can get caught up and the Lord can speak to us and we can really get revelation of who we are, who he is, and who we are in him. But we need to be careful that we don't go home from that conference feeling revitalized, feeling on fire, feeling filled with the Holy Spirit, and then the next day we just go back to normal. We need to take those revelations that we have at that conference and we need to put it into action. You see, we can profess our faith and our trust in Christ in different circumstances, but do our actions exhibit our faith? Saying we have faith is not enough. We have to put it into action. Michelle and I have a phrase which I think I've shared before in another preach: move words to walk. It's a phrase that we remind ourselves every day. We remind each other. And it's a reminder to take the words that we read in the Bible, take the teachings that we hear on a Sunday, the words that the Holy Spirit lays in our hearts, and actually put them into action, to move from words to walk. As you can see, I think action is my favorite of the three. And I think the writer of Hebrews also enjoyed action. If we read in Hebrews 11, there's a table, if you can put that up for me, please. Okay, I'm not going to read it all for you. I know Tim doesn't like lots of words. But what I have done, and I will share this with your community leaders, they can share it with you. The writer of Hebrews goes through chapter 11, talking about all the individual different people within the Bible, what they had faith for, what they then had to do and put into action, and what the outcome of that action was. And it is so amazing to read this account. In one chapter, you can get so many different examples throughout the Bible. But the one thing about each and every one of these individuals is that they had faith, but not in themselves, not in their circumstance. They had faith in God. And that faith in God gave them the onhodend faith, the audacious faith, and the actionable faith. You may have heard a statement, God doesn't steer parked cars. God grows and strengthens our faith as we walk with Him and as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. This walk doesn't always look perfect, but God uses imperfect things. We need to grow in faith with the Lord. He doesn't use immobility. He doesn't use or steer parked cars. So start your engines. And let's move words to walk. My favorite story about faith in action is the passage in the Bible where we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The story is funny and very close to my heart. Funny because every time I read about it, I can hear Roland's voice saying, "My shack, your shack, and a bungalow." But it's very, very dear to my heart. But let me just explain to you quickly. So in Daniel 3, we read about King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was a tyrannic king, a tyrannic ruler. And what he did is he created this giant idol, and he told everyone, "You need to bow down and worship this idol." And what happened was, is they played music and everyone bowed down. And these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said to him, "We will not worship you or your gods. We worship only the one true God, our God." And Nebuchadnezzar was furious. He was so angry that he instructed the guards to take the furnace and heat it up seven times more than normal. He then ordered that these three be bound and thrown into the furnace. Now, this furnace was so hot that the guards, actually carrying these three men towards the furnace, got in close proximity and they ended up dying. And they ended up throwing these three into the furnace. So what do I mean when I talk about that these three showed actionable faith? Well, they stayed true to what they believed in. So much so that they said to the king, "If we are thrown in the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us. But even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Just like Chantal said, if we have to die for our God, I am willing to do it now. Do what you want to me, but I am going to have actionable faith and show the Lord, or show you who my Lord is. So after throwing these three men into the furnace, Nebuchadnezzar stands up and he's amazed and he asks his guards, "What is going on?" And they can actually see these three men are walking around in the furnace. So the fire has burnt the ropes off them, but the fire hasn't burnt them. And then Nebuchadnezzar looks again and he says to his guards, "But how many guys did we throw in there?" They answered, "Three." He said, "But I see a fourth man, one that looks like a son of the gods." That man was Jesus. And Jesus was there protecting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because of their audacious, actionable faith. Nebuchadnezzar spoke to the three men and he called them out. And they walked out as if nothing had happened. They didn't even smell like smoke. They were standing in the fire. Because of their audacious, actionable faith, Nebuchadnezzar believed in the one true God. And it changed everything in the land. So this passage is very close to my heart. And it really stirred up faith in a time for me where my faith was at its complete lowest. I lost my job due to a pride issue, and I was at home looking for work, looking for a way to support my family. And during those 5 months, God did something absolutely amazing. And it was this passage, and also the song that accompanies this passage, Another in the Fire, that stirred my heart. And through this passage, the Lord did two things for me. First of all, He helped me through that area of pride. He helped me remove it from my life. He helped me become more like Him. And secondly, the Lord revealed to me that even in trying and tough circumstances, not even, especially in trying and tough circumstances, I am not alone. I have the Lord with me. But what He also did, the Lord puts godly men and women around us. And at that time, I had a group of 5 or 6 gents, 5 or 6 guys who I could rely on. Some of them who are still in this congregation today. And I could tell them exactly how I was feeling. I could tell them how I felt alone, how I felt abandoned by the Lord. But because of their faith, because of their faith of knowing what God was doing in my life, they were able to tell me that I was believing a lie. The Lord was not punishing me. I was living a circumstance due to one of my ungodly actions. God was not punishing me. God was refining me. And He did an amazing work in those 5 months. I can truly say that in that situation, the faith of my wife and the faith of those 5 men who walked with me got me through that and were able to strengthen my faith and bring me back closer to Jesus than I've ever been. So why am I telling you this? It's because I have a bonus R for you. Your bonus R is assembly. We have the assembly of believers. Assembly is a group of people gathered together for a shared purpose. Your brothers and sisters sitting next to you in this congregation are there for you to strengthen your faith when your faith is low. Our faith is not in our circumstance, it's not in our ability, or even in faith itself. Our faith is in Christ. To have a faith that moves is a faith that is unhodent, a faith that is rooted in Him, a faith that is audacious, a faith that is actionable. Faith that moves flows from meeting and encountering Jesus on a daily basis. The reality is that faith is a daily walk, a daily relational position, not a crisis management strategy. So I really want to encourage you throughout the day, every day, look for one of those ah moments. A moment during the day where you can recognize that you had the Arnhoden faith to pray about something over and over and over again. Or you were audacious enough to tell someone about Jesus and what he is doing in your life, not knowing what the outcome's going to be, but because of that audacious faith, you went ahead and did it. Or put something into action. Or call someone in your comm group and tell them, I am struggling. I need your help. Pray with me. Pray for me. Strengthen my faith. True biblical faith is active. It is not passive. It shows itself in persistent, unheard in prayer, bold, audacious trust, and obedient action, rooted in Christ and strengthened by the assembly. If you'll all just close your eyes. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your love. And we thank you that you have given us one another, where we can strengthen each other's faith in times that we are struggling. I'd like to give you an opportunity that if you feel that your faith has maybe faded, your faith is maybe lower than it could be, in any area, faith for your marriage, faith for finances, faith for healing. If your faith is faded, don't you want to be bold and audacious and take action and have that actionable faith to just stand so that we can pray as an assembly for you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If I can ask the rest of you just to stretch out your hands. If you are nearby, you can lay hands on them. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this body. We thank you for these brothers and sisters.